Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Bigfoot Notes in the Field. I'm your host, William Jevning. We're going to talk about something that we've chatted about before with this particular group, and it deals with the general beliefs that are out there regarding the Sasquatch versus evidence that's been found and facts that we do know. So we're going to sort of discuss both and see what we can sift out of the ash pile here, so to speak. So I have Jeremiah Fountain, Dustin Clark, Chance Honeycutt, and Katie, who is one of our resident scientists. Fellas, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey. What's going on?
So I think this is a very important topic because a lot of people, especially, and I know I shouldn't pay attention to Facebook, but you see a lot of stuff out there, and we have our own Facebook page. And as we got to give our own shameless plug here. Check out our website, williamjevning.com. Go to our Facebook page, JRG Bigfoot Research Group. I see we're well over 1,000 members there now and growing, so that's awesome. But the stuff you see on Facebook, I mean, I don't even know where to begin, fellas. I'll let you. We'll start with Jeremiah. What kind of stuff do we see on Facebook that we know is just people's beliefs about Bigfoot, not based on anything real?
Right. Well, first of all, I know I'm very redundant when I say this, but these things are an animal. They are not the fairies of the woods. They're not our friends. Not that I think they're out on a killing spree, but they are a wild animal, and people need to realize that. And as far as I'm not one to bash other people's beliefs, okay? But we've got the human. People think there's some sort of human, okay, where we have our beliefs. Now, to make this simple, all right, you've got a creature that can get on all fours, run 45, 50 miles an hour, okay? Unbelievable strength, can pick up a deer and snap its spinal cord with ease. You know what I mean?
Let me agility. Ask you first, though. Let's throw out first the various things that people believe. Okay, before we delve into what we know, right. There's things like mind speak.
Yes.
Or interdimensional travel. Cloaking. Katie, that cloaking was a good one. Yeah, cloaking.
And I heard a new one, supposedly, I know who says he knows somebody that's speaking verbally to these things. And I had never heard that one before, and I got to say, somebody, that's one of the best.
Somebody's having a conversation with him.
Absolutely. Top politics and everything, that's just, it's a... I don't even know where to begin on that one. That's just, it blows my mind,
Now, when we see this stuff out there, nobody offers anything in the way of proof or any even a convincing argument to support these different beliefs. And these are nothing but beliefs.
That's right.
I think a lot of times they're used... For some reason, everybody wants to solve. I think people are getting too far ahead sometimes, where they want to answer all these questions. Where, like, hey, slow down and start from the beginning before you, before you start talking about certain behavioral patterns. I guess that's pretty superficial. But people want to go in really deep, and I think it's in people's personalities when they can't answer those questions. They come up with the craziest stuff that you couldn't prove anyway. And they're like, that fits. Now it makes sense. It comes out of a UFO. So I don't know.
And that's a great point because I know from my own standpoint when it comes to field work, I've had those kinds of questions asked to me a lot. Everybody wants to, what is Bigfoot? To be honest, I don't give a damn. My goal is to go out and drag one in by the backside.
Yes.
You got to establish that they do exist first. Nothing else really matters, in my opinion, until that's been accomplished.
That's right. Well,
and I think there's certain things that you've observed in the field and Jeremiah and everybody that, you know, are definitely worth talking about and documenting, and it's fun to speculate. But, you know, I think the problem is that a lot of the quote-unquote experts are working on, you know, emotion and, and you know, trying to come up with all these different things when it's like, hey, just, you know, relax. And because here's the thing, whether this thing's existence doesn't depend on anybody's belief. You know, it's like, well, I don't believe in, you know, whatever. I don't believe in abortion. But you know what? It still happens. It's still out there. Belief doesn't matter. You know, so I think I mentioned this before when we had talked about, you know, the field's so wide open that basically anybody can come in. Anybody can say whatever they want. Now, I do think in science that that's important, that it should be open to everybody. But, you know, in the world of science, you peer review your publication. If you don't, then they don't mean anything. Now, there's great work out there that goes against the grain that if not, you know, the peer review, it won't pass it, you know, but that stuff is still valid. But in this, I mean, you got people buying their own journals to publish their data, you know? So I don't know. I just think it's too wide open. And I know I used the term gatekeeper, which was probably the wrong thing because that gives a certain image. But at the same time, I mean, we got to regulate it somehow. You know,
there should be some standards. And here's the reason why. There, you know, and of course, you know, the subject isn't really that old. It's only, what, 50, 60 years old in terms of public attention. When it first started being investigated, people, the early investigators, were just trying to establish whether there really was enough evidence found to support a more widespread or further searching, further investigation, and they did determine that. So then everybody jumps in. Yeah. And pretty soon, anybody's ideas go. Well, you know, in the early days, the original people were able to kind of keep a lid on most of that. There were a few kooks who would voice their opinions. But for the most part, it was kept a lid on it. Now, since they're gone, everybody comes out. And I'd really love to see a psychological breakdown done on the people that come into the subject for the most part, because I think for the most part, they come into it for attention. You know, people come into this and say, well, I've been mind speaking with a Sasquatch. Well, there's no way in hell you could ever prove that.
No,
it's called schizophrenia. But on the
other, but on the other side of that, you know, how do they can't, you know, tell you any other animal that can do that, any other species. So, but what it does, it makes the subject look bad to people out there who haven't made their minds up.
Absolutely.
And especially the scientific community. So if the more of this junk that gets pushed, the farther down the rabbit hole the subject goes, and nobody in credible circles wants to take a look at it.
That's right. You know, that's what I like about our group. You know, as far as, okay, you've got both sides of the spectrum. You know, their beliefs, we have ours. You know, I know there's no evidence out there right now proving or showing what these things are. But as far as, you know, evidence, at least on our side of the fence, we do have evidence showing that these are a living, breathing creature. You know what I mean?
And if you were to look at how things are done in courts, and I've mentioned before, you know, we like to watch Dateline a lot. Yeah. And it's amazing to me how little evidence is used in courts that convict people and take away their entire lives.
Send them to death row.
Yeah, so when it comes to things that have been found in this subject, and that's, you know, we're not just talking beliefs. People always say, and these are people who obviously haven't looked into the subject, how come there isn't any evidence? Well, there's a ton of evidence.
Right.
I mean, many, many, many thousands of footprints alone. That's trace evidence. Trace evidence is absolutely used all the time in courts. People are convicted on trace evidence all the time.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I've never had an experience with these things. I grew up in Washington, you know, out in the wilderness, spent time alone out there plenty of times. You know, I've said before, I got some weird feelings out yeah. there, and I chalked them up to mountain lion, you know. But, you know, to me, I wouldn't be here if I didn't look at things and say, you know what, there's something here, you know.
Now, as a scientist, what yeah. piques your interest about this in terms of the possibilities of it being real?
Now, are you saying what evidence piques my interest, or just the subject in general?
Well, a lot of people who have advanced degrees like you, yeah. who are credible scientists, will just simply dismiss the topic without right. weighing anything.
Well, publicly, yeah.
Right. I guess what made you take a look at the possibilities?
Well, one thing is growing up, and, you know, we've discussed this before. My neighbor, he was a banker, real prominent guy, real serious guy. He saw one of these things elk hunting up near White Pass. And I swear, man, I bugged him for probably 8 years, 9 years until he passed away to tell me that story. I heard a million times. That's what really kind of got me on it. As far as, like, pursuing it, you know, I had a weird experience in Michigan, and it just kind of opened my eyes to, like, wait a second, like, this isn't supposed to happen. It's not supposed to be here. Yeah, I just kind of got back into looking at the evidence and stuff. And,
of the evidence that's out there, what do you think is credible? I mean, in terms of the things that other scientists should look at.
Well, I mean, one thing, I think the footprints there are some amazing footprints out there. There's a lot of phony ones, and unfortunately those ones get more attention. So I think you're more likely to come across a completely stupid brick looking, you know, footprint mm-hmm. that's evenly, you know, spaced out, than something credible. I think the vocalizations are what. Yeah, that's a.
that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Pretty good one. Yeah, that is a pretty good one. You know, I think to me right now the vocalizations, because unfortunately with video today and what they can do, you got to write a lot of it off. There are some videos out there that make me scratch my head for sure.
I agree with you on vocalizations though, because vocalizations. They can actually measure the lung volume.
Yes.
Well
based on those sounds.
Well, you can look at, the patterns that are made too, and say, like, wait a second, like, we couldn't do this. Now, I've heard some mechanical sounding ones that I'm not saying aren't real, but at the same time, I'm saying, okay, I have to push that aside because that could be mechanical. I've heard other sure. ones that I'm like, well, that sounds a lot like a guy, like just at the right. end of yeah. his, you know, pushing yeah. the limits of those octaves. And so again, I got to write those off. But then there's a couple that are just insane, you know,
blow your mind. Yeah.
Oh, make your yeah. make you scratch your head for sure.
Yeah. Well, and even to me, I think if you sit back and take the time to listen to the reports, I love. A lot of the witness accounts, you can tell if somebody is being honest. You can
absolutely.
Tell. You know, there's yeah. maybe there are a couple people who deserve Academy Awards out there that have, right? I mean, I haven't, you know,
oh, yeah.
you got to get face to face. But when somebody's reliving an event happen and that emotion's coming through, and I'm not talking about the pause, but, you know, no, none of that. It's the ones where those people are literally shaking. You can feel it, you know.
I think you're breaking up a little bit there.
Of course. Anyway, I'm just saying there are some people who can fake you know, that I think can pull the wool over their eyes. But there are people
yeah.
who you can feel the emotion.
Absolutely.
That also draws me.
You know, I tell you, I would love to have a qualified psychologist as one of our members who would be willing to look over the witness counts or listen or even talk to the witnesses. I don't think that's something that's ever been done in this subject.
I mean, you know, I think a psychologist would be good, but I think that get a detective. I mean, these people read people for a living, and they're dealing. Everyone's going to lie to you from the jump, you know?
Right.
I think they may be an even stronger account. I mean, we don't necessarily need to know why. The psychologist will tell you why. But just reading body language, I think, is...
That's a big one. Absolutely.
I think we're actually fortunate. We do have about a half a dozen current former police officers who are members around the country. Yeah. So that's a real plus for us.
You know, my sister's a clinical psychologist, not Glenda, the younger one. You know, that'd be interesting. I might have her read a couple of reports.
I just think it would be interesting because nobody's ever really done it.
Input.
Right.
Right.
See what she has to say.
I guess when it comes to, weighing these two sides, and I almost think it's really one of the big foundations in this subject, because there are kind of two sides, and I think both of them are sort of backed, or the foundations are, you know, there's some people who are more likable, that seem more credible out there, I think, because they're trying to be, you know, more on top of the evidence. Versus the other side that's just, you know, kind of on the crazy train going nowhere.
Right.
And I really have to hit that. I don't want to pick on people necessarily, but some of the stuff just drives me crazy sometimes. And I don't want to get into that, but it's just identifying this stuff. Well, and they attract followers, too, really surprises me.
Well, birds of a feather, you know.
That's probably true.
But, you know, I think just in those people's defense, because I don't want to talk down on the people that go into the real strange. Maybe they are experiencing things. I mean, there are phenomena out there that we can't explain, but they're attributing it to something, you know, that they can't prove.
Right. Maybe they're, like you said, they're experiencing something, and then, for whatever reason, Bigfoot is what comes to mind, or that's the label they're putting on it.
Right.
It's because they like Bigfoot. They're out looking for it. And maybe they're experiencing something else, and so they chalk it up to that.
Absolutely.
And I think, like, Jeremiah, we were talking before we started, there's a dogman witness that you're going to be interviewing. And I think a lot of times, most times, those are simple misidentifications. I think what people are seeing are the type three. They're not seeing something that I guess the terminology, I don't know if it'd be genetically can't exist. I don't know if that's a fair statement or not.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, that's scientifically impossible. Isn't it like a canine walking on two legs? I mean,
well, you know, no, dogs can kind of hop. I mean, I've seen dogs do it, but
I'm just, as a dog man, like, you know, saying they walk around like a Sasquatch all the time. I mean, that's
not happening.
I mean, they call it dog man, but aren't we really talking werewolf? Isn't that what people thinking is out there?
Well, I mean, and you got to think, you know, people are claiming that this thing is, you know, 7-8 feet tall, and the prints that they have are like 5 inches long. It's like a big wolf, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
about
now
that.
I will relate one thing, and I did talk to Mr. Black about this. He said that they the government did discover a rare species of wolf some time back. There aren't a lot of them, but they are quite a bit larger than the normal ones everybody's used to.
Sure.
And he said he's looked at some of these pictures that people have claimed are dogman footprints on Facebook. And he said it looks exactly like what they photographed and documented and knew that were an actual species of wolf.
Yeah.
A very rare one, albeit. But
what's that picture?
And he said what people were, in fact, seeing were the type threes, but it could be in conjunction with, you know, this rare wolf that was,
right.
You know, right. When they do find tracks, and it's not very often.
What's that picture where it's like this weird canine looking Sasquatch deal at the bottom of a waterfall? I think it was in California.
I'm not sure. I've seen so many fake things out there. I get tired of looking at them.
I think it's the one you're talking about. It looked kind of like a baboon, Chris.
Yeah, it's like holding something.
That was taken at Seven Rivers Point in Quebec.
Yeah,
up north in Quebec. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a weird picture, man. I've looked.
That's odd. I mean,
I don't think that one.
Yeah, that's a little strange. I mean, that's the thing. A lot of these pictures people send into these supposed dogmen. Will, you and I have talked about it before. These things look like baboons.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, how do you get a dog man out of that? That would fit the description more like a type 3 Sasquatch.
Now, I know a lot of people will, you know, when they relate something that's not in their frame of reference, they're going to use the closest thing they have in their toolbox to describe what it was they saw.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, I mean, I don't know how many people have never seen pictures of baboons, you know, or chimps or gorillas. You know, I mean, the type 3s have that. And you would expect
one
of these creatures to have that simian protruding face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's what's most common in all primate species. We're one of the few that doesn't have it.
Sure.
Yeah. So I would expect a type of Sasquatch to more likely have that than not have it.
I agree. It's like I told you, that juvenile, I saw it was an ape. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I think misidentifications, and that again, it goes to, you know, that belief versus fact and evidence. You know, if somebody claims they saw something, 99% of the time, no one has done any follow-up to where they go to actually find something to support the claim they've made. And that's why I hit our people so hard about that is, if you go to the field and you think you see something, search the hell out of the area because, you know, what do they say? You know, how does the saying go? Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence to support the claim.
Absolutely.
So, and if there is a living, breathing species of animal out there, then there should be some evidence to support it if people are seeing something. Now, you know, of course, again, like with tracks, we have tens of thousands of tracks, probably hundreds of thousands of tracks that have been found just since the 1950s. I know the Bluff Creek area for certain had many thousands of tracks found there. Then we're talking scat. Then we're talking, you know, other behavioral things like, you know, territorial markings, things like that.
Right.
We have vocalizations. Thousands upon thousands of eyewitness reports. You know, I mean, there's, you know, hair collected, there's been, you name it, everything that a living species of animal would produce out there has been found with these things. So yet people, you know, they want to say, well, how come you don't find any evidence? How come you don't have a body? Well, you go back and look at the reports, there have been bodies
absolutely
found, you know, but you look at those time periods, I mean, like, and I'll use the one, Jacko. Okay, let me add KD back on here. But, you know, you have to go back and look, you know, at the history to see what's out there.
Absolutely.
And that's it. People dismiss, you know, what has been reported too much. Uh-oh. Okay, let me try to get him back.
Well, you know, a track is proof of a living, breathing creature.
Yeah, right.
It's straight up, you know. And like you said, you know, you find one, there should be evidence. You know what I mean? Should be evidence close to that one. You know, people just get lazy about searching the area.
Well, I think that's it. And then they'll say something and, you know, they'll make a claim, but there's nothing to back the claim up.
Absolutely.
So I guess now here's something we've haven't really talked about, and that's, you know, all these crazy claims, these, you know, I guess just to give them a little bit of light, You know, on things like, well, let's talk, say MindSpeak or the interdimensional travel and that kind of stuff.
Oh God!
Do you get? Have you guys heard much about that kind of stuff? I mean, oh, I mean, we all have heard about it, but
oh yeah, I mean, it's out there. People, the minds.
I mean, well, I mean, just what evidence is there supposed to be for this stuff? Do you guys There's, have you heard anything?
I be, you know, people claim it. I mean, you guys have heard it, Dustin, Chance. I mean,
yeah, when.
You know, I've heard people, you know, tell stories about it. Jeremiah, I don't think I actually have had the opportunity to share this with you yet, but I was, you know, at a, what I thought was going to turn out to be a pretty solid lead a few weeks back. Finally had time to sit down and speak with this individual and, you know, start the interview process and everything. And we got about probably 20, 30 minutes into, you know, the conversation, and this person starts telling me about how the family of Sasquatch was dropped off in the backyard from a flying ship.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Was dropped off in her backyard from a flying ship. Continue to build a relationship with these people through MindSpeak.
Unreal.
Attention dropped off rather quickly. There's definitely some far-fetched and wild ideas out there that.
You know, and I heard one similar to that. This lady supposedly lived with these things for 3 weeks. Now, the Sasquatch told her she was in a cave. She woke up in a cave with the Sasquatch, and he begins to tell her that, don't worry, we aren't going to eat you. Now, they're speaking telepathically, of course. so he begins to tell her that how they got to Earth was they were 300,000 years ago, they were on a prison ship, okay? The ship crashed, and the population of Sasquatch started. And she lived with this thing for 3 weeks. They taught her how to catch salmon. She hunted with them. And she makes it a point to go back every year and stay with this clan for a few weeks, you know?
I think I've actually heard that story.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. You know what I mean? Come on now.
There's a few people, yeah, you see them occasionally. They'll put something on there about, oh, I'm going to go out and you know, visit the Sasquatch people and you know what I mean? You can add your own details in there. and there's other people that will, you see, they'll like what they posted, make a comment about, oh, I've gone out and visited my Sasquatch people too, you know? And, and you know, here's the real, piece where the rubber meets the pavement. When you look at what these people believe, there, and from one to the next, there isn't any consistency.
No.
When you look at the, sorry, I'm trying to add Chris in here. When you look at the evidence, such as, you know, all the footprints that have been found, the things that we talked about, you know, the footprints, especially the eyewitness accounts. When you look at the eyewitness accounts going back hundreds of years, Katie's back. Welcome back.
Thank you.
When you go back and look at that stuff, there is a remarkable consistency over time and geography.
Yes.
Where the nonsensical stuff, the things that people have concocted and believe, there is not consistency.
You know, it.
And I think that's a real test of, you know, if you're going to look at the subject, test the consistency.
You know, like my grandma, before she used to tell me, like, the Iroquois, you know, I know a lot of these, a lot of tribes, they have that belief that these things were, you know, a certain tribe of people with magical powers. But the Iroquois in the East Coast, my grandmother, you know, used to tell me that these things were an animal. Just like the bear, just like the beaver, anything else, you know, straight up. They didn't have the belief that they were some sort of human. They knew they were a straight up animal. Just period. And like you said, Will, that goes back hundreds of years, you know?
Yeah, it's not something that just started recently.
Exactly. And again,
if you go back and look at all them old stories from generations back, as far back as you can trace them, and then to the native peoples and other people around the world, there's that remarkable consistency between what is told about these things and these various accounts.
Absolutely.
And if you were to look at things like this interdimensional stuff, and I know what they'll say, oh, well, we didn't know about different dimensions until recently.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't read these old reports about, you know, oh, I saw this thing and it just popped in out of thin air. Or, and I've heard some Lulus, believe me, there's one guy who is a psychologist involved in the subject. And he was out with some people that I happen to know, and he claimed that the Sasquatch was right there with the group of them as they were out walking around the area where they'd seen and heard things. Nobody could see it except him. And of course he was talking to it and everything else.
Awesome.
You know, there's a case of the psychologist that needs a psychiatrist.
Right, right.
Well, you know, but you guys know as well as I do, I mean, when it comes to them popping out of thin air, a black bear will do the same thing.
Yep.
You won't see it, and then they'll just pop out of thin air, and then when they see you, they're gone. A black bear won't even hear it to do with you.
Yeah. You don't even hear it come in.
Absolutely not.
You know? Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
And it goes back to, you know, people don't understand how, especially predatory animals, how they move in their environment.
Right. They're masked.
They don't just out... Yeah, they don't just go out and wander along aimlessly, you know, bebopping along. And, oh, there's a human. I guess I better hide. Yeah. They are in stealth mode all the time.
Yep.
All the time.
It's how they survive. It's necessary to be that way. Right. The Sasquatch is going to be no different.
Absolutely.
See, you know, so a lot of this, again, that saying, goes back to this. Oh, go ahead, Jeremiah. Yeah.
I was just going to say, it goes to people saying, why isn't there a body? Okay, go out and find me a dead black bear body, you know?
Yeah.
I've
seen one once.
A dead cougar.
You know?
You know, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, never seen one.
It's crazy, you know? You know, like we said before, predators, when they know they're going to die, they'll usually hole up, you know?
Yeah.
So I invite anyone to go out there and find a black bear that has laid down and died, you know? Same with the Sasquatch. It's a predator. You know what I mean? You're not going to find a body of one just laying there dead.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Katie.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, I have covered hundreds of miles in the wilderness, and I have come across predation. I can think of it. I've probably found 4 deer and 1 elk, and the elk had an arrow in it.
Yeah.
Deer, you know, you can kind of, I guess that's hard to tell, but, you know, one deer I saw, it had to have been hit by a car. Its back was all smashed. I think it ran and, you know, ended up dying. But, I mean, when you spend that much time, you don't find stuff like that. I found a porcupine skull one time. But that's another point.
Yeah.
I grew up in Washington State, never, ever saw a porcupine in my life. And supposedly it's one of the thickest porcupine population. Or, you know, densities in the United States. I've never seen one there.
Oh, same here. I also grew up in Washington, and my dog got into a porcupine twice. I never saw the porcupine.
Never.
You know, I saw one in southern Oregon many years ago. Yeah. That's the only porcupine I've ever seen in the wild.
Right. You know, we've got lynx up here, the Canadian lynx. You will not see one.
Right, right.
They are
still... You're...
You know, I told a story once about the same thing. I, you know, in Mount St. Helens, there was an article in the Oregonian newspaper, a big 2-page spread about how scientists said, well, there were no more lynx in that region. And a buddy of mine and I were up in south at Mount St. Helens driving around. We stopped to relieve ourselves, and here was a big fat lynx walking around in front of me. I took a bunch of pictures of it.
Yeah.
You know, looked at me like
they're amazing.
It looked to me like, if I had more time, you'd be lunch, but you're not worth my time, and off it went.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Once in a while, you will see them. It's like the DEC up here denies that they're here, which is BS. We, you know, they're here. They're still denying the existence of cougars up here. You know, right. I found cougar tracks out back. You know, they're here. You know,
so there's a lot of things that everybody thinks, oh, well, the officials know everything.
No.
Well, sorry, folks, they don't know everything.
Well, you have to think about
trained. They're trained, but it doesn't necessarily mean they know everything.
Well, no, and you have to think about the way that things work, the way that our government works. People are elected, you know, and they're in for a certain amount of time. You're not going to tell somebody who has the potential and the probability to go back into the general public again everything. You know, I mean, it doesn't work.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. And so,
right.
You know, now I do think that, you know, they have to know more than they tell us. And, you know.
Absolutely.
Whatever, you know. What about in Washington State there? I can't remember when it was. It's in like the 80s, 70s or 80s when they made the pamphlet that had the Bigfoot as the flora and fauna.
Yes, I heard about that.
You know, that's kind of a popular one out there. Yeah. But I, you know, having been in the Army, I don't know. I mean, I never saw anything like that, anything official.
Was that supposed to be
military? Field manual or anything?
I thought it was like Forest Service. Was that Forest Service or was that put out by the...
No, it was, I believe it was actually Army National Guard.
But yeah, I heard.
It was a military pamphlet.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, no, it was an Army pamphlet.
Oh, okay.
I tell you what.
My suspicion is that's fake, but, you know, I don't know for sure.
The Border Patrol guys up here see him. You guys have seen those pictures I have, right? Now the two walking through Brazier Forest. That was taken by a Border Patrol guy that lives on the edge of the forest.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I'll send him. He wants to remain anonymous around, but he's up for retirement soon, so we are going to get a chance to interview him. He's the one, Will, that found that 23.5-inch track.
Oh, right.
He's into research. He wants to join up with us when he retires. So,
very nice.
Talking about belief and opinion here, I think I was listening to some people discuss the subject, and I thought it was kind of funny where this lady was saying that she knows the reason that they're not coming out and saying it's real is because then everyone's going to be out hunting them and they're going to kill them and this and that. And if you're logical, you think about it, there are a lot of people out there right now. These things have no problem avoiding us. What makes you think just because someone says, oh, yeah, it's real, that all of a sudden they're going to start slipping up and, you know.
Well, and what would be the motivation? I mean, what would people get out of going out and killing?
Nothing.
I mean, especially let's at this time point right now, it's conceivable that if somebody were to go out and bag one, they could make a lot of money and get lots of attention. But after that, it would be a done deal. It's like, okay, we know they're out there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think of the law. The Endangered Species Act kicks in, forests are shut down, that's it, nobody does anything anymore.
Right.
But if they were, you know, they come out and said tomorrow, okay, yeah, the Sasquatch is real, it exists, we've known about it for a little while, we've had bodies, blah, blah, blah. What is the personal gain for people to go out and bag one? It's to me, it's non-existent.
Right. I just don't think it's not happening now. And you could look at it and say, okay, well, sheer numbers.
Why would it later?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sheer numbers, you put more people out there, I guess the probability has to go up. But you're not going to have, you know, the population of Seattle out, you know, in... You know, the Olympic National Forest.
If you do, they're going to bug out long before that anyway, before slow people catch up to them.
Well, the thing is,
which, so dumb.
You got to think about the consequences before you pull that trigger, too, is you cannot take that back. You know,
well, not only that, too, but I mean, if it was that easy, it would have been done a long time ago.
Exactly, Chance. You're
exactly
correct,
right,
on
Chance,
that.
Yeah.
If it was that easy, it would have been done already.
Exactly. It would have freaking been done. You know, back to the national park thing, well, do you think, say they come out and say these things are real. You know, a lot of places these people, these things live are in the national parks, correct? You know?
Sure.
Would they...
It's, well, I mean, of course, they're heavily forested, yeah. So of course that's, you know, prime habitat area.
So they say, okay, we have an unclassified primate living in these national parks. Are they going to kick into the Endangered Species Act? That's the thing. So they lose millions of dollars every year with these national parks.
But are they endangered? I mean...
That's the thing, though.
Well, not necessarily endangered, but what happens when you get a new species is that automatically kicks in, and so they can determine things like habitat, it's people's impact on the habitat, and it goes on down the list. You know, that's why it takes them years to figure out, you know, what's going on with a new species. So, I mean, they would do that until such time as they figure out what it is that they want to do and need to do in terms of setting, you know, boundaries for habitat and laws and all that other good stuff. I think it's just kind of a blanket situation where it keeps the public from just going in and doing what they want to do.
Right. I wonder how...
You know, until they can determine policy.
That makes sense. A lot of sense. I just... I wonder how people's interests would change if this thing was proven. I mean, part of the fun of Bigfoot is the mystery.
You get Sasquatch, a lot of interest, you know? I think.
Yeah.
Oh, I think people who are on the edge, and I think the bulk of the people out there, and we call, you know, the Jevving Research Group is not part of the Bigfoot community. We're our own entity, separate from all that.
Yeah.
People, I think, would lose interest in the Bigfoot community.
Sure. Right.
And because then what I was getting around to is we have believers and skeptics. That seems to be what everybody calls the two sides.
Sure.
And it's not really skeptics. It's, you know, the debunkers is what you have.
So
the believers are the people who will fall for anything. They believe anything they hear. So, but those are very small groups.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority are real skeptics. They're people who are sort of on the fence and could be swayed easily either way if there was good evidence supporting either side of the argument.
Right.
And I think those people, there'd be a lot of interest there because they'd say, oh, it does exist. Well, I'm interested. Right. I'll take a look and see what it is.
At least
just to learn about
it. Yeah, that's another thing, you know, it's where I think a lot of people have experiences out there that, you know, they just chalk off to, oh, no, it couldn't be. They completely write it off.
And
if you ask them, no matter what, they're going to say no. Where I do think if it all of a sudden became real, those people might say, wait a second, well, maybe what happened to me, you know.
I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten from people over the years basically stating exactly or very similar to that. They'll say, you know, I listened to you on this show or that show talking about this. And it made me think about this experience I had.
Right.
And it gave them a whole different perspective on something that happened that maybe was something very unfamiliar to them.
Right.
But they couldn't point the finger at Bigfoot because they didn't actually see the creature.
Right. And I do think in a way that can be dangerous to, well, I mean, I still think it's interesting to hear those people. But, you know, it's like, I was fly fishing on Skate Creek one time. And I got this feeling of absolute dread out of nowhere. I was terrified. I did not want to look behind me. I just wanted to get out of there. I didn't even want to grab my stuff. You know, I did. And, you know, running on those creeks and stuff, you end up rolling rocks. And stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I rolled. I didn't roll my ankle, but, you know, I rolled off a rock and it stopped me. And I looked behind. There was nothing there. And I remember, I tried to calm myself. I'm like, I'm just going to walk. And I took like 3 steps and then ran. And, you know, so I never thought it was anything except a mountain lion. And
I was thinking that exactly. Yeah, a bear or a mountain lion or something like that.
I didn't know that a bear would necessarily do that. But a lion, those things are creepy, man. And, when I ended up, I've been 10 feet from a mountain lion. He's on my wall now, as a matter of fact. But, you know, he creeped me out. Just being, I'm like, I don't know. It was very weird. But I would never say, no matter what, and it's been recently when people, I hear the reports that people have that. They have that feeling before they experience it. I would never claim, oh, hey, maybe I did have an experience there. No. You know, I think it's dangerous to do that, even though it might fit with certain things. And
right.
I would never go.
Well, what I was actually getting around to is I've had people email me and tell me, you know, there would be a series of things. And then they would hear vocals that they were unfamiliar with while hunting and were expert in their hunting fields and things like that. And they heard something they weren't, you know, that had great volume. They were totally unfamiliar with it, but wouldn't point a finger at any particular thing until they would hear me, you know, talk about something. And they'd say, oh, well, that kind of put the puzzle pieces together. Yeah. Maybe that's what I heard.
Right.
You know, yeah. or saw some sort of evidence too, but
well, I know when we used to camp around Packwood and Mount Rainier and everything growing up, and it's funny, and I still think to this day it was probably people chopping wood, but I never heard anything about wood knocks. But Will, you grew up in Washington, sure. And I think I that's the only place I've really camped, so I can't say it doesn't happen elsewhere. But you know the sound of someone chopping wood for a fire in a camper.
Oh yeah.
At absolutely. Night you hear that so often. And so I do kind of think back, like, I wonder if there was ever a time and that was something, you know. And it probably wasn't, you know, but still.
You know, I can't say I've ever heard that, and I spent a lot of time in the field looking for Sasquatches in a lot of remote places. And I can't honestly say I've ever heard things. I've heard a lot of vocalizations that I'm certain were Sasquatch, but never heard that noise. In fact, and I've told this before on other shows, in the early 90s, I had a team up east of Yale Lake, south of Mount St. Helens. And we were opening up a new research area, and I took a team in there to do kind of an initial look over the area, you know, so we could determine where it was we wanted to start investigating that area. Kind of build our anchor point, basically.
Yeah.
And I took another gentleman with us, and I won't name him. He's in Portland, Oregon. You know, guy wouldn't get beyond 10 feet beyond his camper, and, you know, was casting mud holes in the side of the road that he thought were Bigfoot tracks that were simply...
It
went on and on. So we and I were taking a walk down the road when I had the teams out doing an initial survey of the area. And we heard a woodpecker. Absolutely. I think I actually saw it.
Yeah.
At one point. And he stopped and he says, "That's a Bigfoot." I looked at him and I said, "It's a woodpecker."
Yeah, yeah.
No, no. He says, "It's got to be a Bigfoot."
Mimic
woodpecker. I said, it's a woodpecker. And he says, "Well," and at this point, he sort of tuned me out. And he's just talking to the air. And he says, "Well, you know, if I were a Bigfoot living out here, I think I'd pick up a stick," and he picks up this chunk of wood, and he says, "I think, you know, I'd smack it on a tree to communicate with." And of course, I'm sure I'm giving him, you know, kind of a sideways look at this point, like he's absolutely insane and I need to go get a rubber jacket for him, but, you know, the ties in the back.
Yep.
But he was insistent that's how, even though, I mean, it was absolutely 100% a woodpecker.
Right.
You know, thank God he quit going with us after that. You know, I didn't need any of that kind of craziness, but he started his own little craziness.
Well, support. You know, and I think this is what's so funny. It's like, if you guys go back and YouTube, you can really do this. You start listen to interviews from, you know, the 60s and 70s of witnesses all the way up to the 90s.
There was none.
You never hear a wood knock. You never hear any of that stuff. Now, every single person is like, "Oh yeah, I heard this foot knock," and, you know.
Let me relate this. Where I tried to get to the bottom of this whole wood knock thing, and of course it goes back to the BFRO, and they're the ones who actually started this.
Oh, really?
And somebody, I knew somebody who was in touch with Cliff Barachman from Finding Bigfoot, and I had them ask him how that started.
Yeah.
And his response was, he thought somebody said, now this is how it was worded, he thought someone said they heard Bob Titmus mention it years ago.
Oh, man.
Well, Bob Titmus, as far as I knew, I knew Titmus. He never mentioned it as far as I knew. That was never talked about by the old timers.
Well, what if it's just stepping on a log that pops? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, now, it's not out of the question they could do something like that.
Sure. No, I mean, it would.
But, and again, it's not, you know, their take is, and this is, again, one of these things, it's belief based on no evidence.
What everyone else says, so yeah, that must be when I hear that.
You know, the BFRO, and I'll pick on the BFRO here that since they started this, was, you know, they with the TV show, they go out and they go out and bang on trees,
yeah,
wanting the Sasquatch to communicate with them.
Right.
Well, if the Sasquatches are out doing any kind of noises like that, it's communication between themselves.
Sure.
Maybe about the presence of people. But it's not geared towards people. Not as an interspecies form of communication. That's absolute nonsense.
Right.
Oh, that's stupid. You know,
I mean, I know when I trained for combat in the Army for years, you know, we would do things like that as ways of signaling.
Sure, yeah.
Without giving, because you don't want to give your voice away. That's an obvious saying, hey, I'm here, your enemy's right here. You do something that's sort of out of
any,
go back to D-Day when they had the little clickers. Yep. The airborne guys did. That's exactly what they were doing.
Yep.
It was to keep the Germans from knowing there were enemy soldiers near you, because that was an unfamiliar sound, but it was a sound that they could communicate.
Sure.
So it's not out of the question that a highly intelligent primate might use some, you know, maybe banging sticks together or rocks or something,
right,
as a way of telling its partner, maybe as they're, you know, moving in a coordinated hunt.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, to and it's important. Now, here's something. This is kind of interesting. When it comes to, especially if you're driving a prey animal to, say, a kill zone,
right,
and I've heard this many times, people seen Sasquatches do this, and even people trying to be lured in by them to a kill zone. I've interviewed hunters. One in particular stands out. You can't really, you want to, if you're driving, if you have, let's say, a member on either side of the supposed prey, you want to move them along sort of evenly. So if one gets ahead of the other one too far, the prey animal can get out of the zone to drive them, right?
Yeah.
So you'd want to be able to communicate back and forth, not necessarily so the animal would know what was driving it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you might use some kind of verbal, or not verbal, but audible cues like that to stay at pace with each
other. Well, I mean, a lot of animals use pheromones to communicate, you know.
Absolutely.
More silent. Or I would more picture these things using a mouth pop or something, you know.
I was just going to say that, man. A lot of, I was just going to get back to that. See, it's a vocals that does it for me, man. To be honest with you, I don't hear wood knocks up here, but I've heard a shit ton of vocals that I cannot explain. You know, I'm like you guys, I've been hunting since I was 8 years old. I know every vocal every animal makes up here. And, you know, it's the vocals that do it for me, man. Stuff I cannot explain. And Chris and I were just talking about the mouth pops. I've heard stuff like that many times. Kelly and I were in the woods. We had that encounter, and we went back near that area. And I don't know if I told you, Chris, but I told Will. And they were making noises. I know it was them because we heard them crashing through the brush. It sounded like a bulldozer. But making noises with their mouth, and the only way I can explain it, you ever heard a dolphin when they do their sonar?
Yeah, sure.
It's exactly what it sounded like.
Really?
I don't know if that, you think, Will. I know we talked about that. You think that was a form of them communicating with each other? Or?
Well, it's possible. I mean, they're going to use whatever they have in their toolbox in terms of, you know, noises and things like that. I mean, other primates do the same thing. And again, you know, going back to the, you know, beliefs versus evidence. With beliefs, of course, they just make things up.
Right.
If you're looking at evidence, use comparative anthropology.
Absolutely.
Look at what other primates do. Is there something that's similar that other primates do?
Absolutely.
To that?
Yep.
See, if there is, then it's reasonable to assume that these guys are doing it too.
And the vocals we've talked about, like the chimpanzee chatter. You know, I've heard that.
Right. Sometimes. I've actually heard that.
That's
myself.
Unreal. It sounds it like is. A 600-pound chimpanzee. You know, and there's nothing to compare that to. I mean, it sounded like an ape, you know. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. And you're in North America, hearing an ape out Absolutely. In the forest is very unlikely.
Absolutely. So. Well, and when you think about it, just look at animals that we know exist. Like, and I think a lot of people will say, well, no, they communicate because they're so smart, and, you know, it's the intelligence they use to coordinate. I don't know if you guys have ever seen wolves hunt.
Absolutely.
They don't make... They're not talking to each other. They're not knocking on trees. Those things know what to do, and they, you know...
And they're relentless and tough.
Well, yeah, they don't... But that's the thing. It's called instinct. And when yeah. you know, they communicate, or you just look at, like, how deer communicate. You know, they'll use the flick of a tail,
yep.
or, mm-hmm. You know, you rarely... I have spent so many hours in trees hunting deer, and yeah. you very... rarely hear them make sounds during the yep. rut. You'll hear things, but you know,
you're a grunt here and there, but rarely
these right things don't need to, yeah, right. I mean,
that's no, it. And again, you go back to comparative anthropology, look at, say, what groups of chimps or gorillas mm-hmm. do, and then compare it to what witnesses say they've seen and heard.
Right.
Yes,
is there a comparison?
Yeah,
in most cases, there are things like. And we talked, you know, with our anthropologist, the lip flip
yes.
thing.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and you don't hear that a lot, but there's a lot of people that don't report what they've seen.
Sure.
And fortunately, some of these people have, so we do get this, and it's consistent. When a primate bares its teeth, that's a warning. That's a display. Right. It's an aggressive display.
Yeah.
Basically saying, get the hell away yeah, from
me. I'm going to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm going to throw sticks at you. I'm going to throw rocks, and I'm going to throw a tantrum.
Right. And chips and gorillas
Absolutely.
Do that.
They throw a
tantrum. They do yep. mock charges. And again, these are all pieces of evidence that are consistent. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're consistent with between Sasquatch encounters. They're consistent with comparative anthropology.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and you've heard, it goes back to instinct. You hear stories about the females, the way they carry their young. In the front.
Right.
Now,
right.
what types of species carry their infants in the front? You know, primates.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's just a lot of examples, man. It leads back.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, it's not like, you know, with the interdimensional stuff. I don't know the particulars of a lot of those things, but, or the mind speak stuff, or the Sasquatch people stuff, or
yeah. any
of that. Those are all, it's all fantasy.
It is. So, yeah.
You know, people who want to get involved in fantasy, when we have tons and tons of just the few examples we've brought up, you know, with the various types of evidence.
Right.
And it's not just pieces of evidence, it's consistent evidence across the board. And yeah. again, across geography and
time. Absolutely.
Sure. You know, and that's not to say that there aren't things that very few people witness, you know, of these things, behaviors, you know, where it's almost that sometimes the consistency is, I think, can be a bad thing because people do say the same thing over and over based on what
oh,
other
sure.
people
That's
say.
That's why
you
need
you
some
know?
Kind of a filter.
Yeah,
right.
But I do, you know, maybe some of the things that don't fit into the paradigm are legitimate. I mean, they gotta be. And maybe that goes to individual personality of one of these creatures, you know?
Well, there, and you do have to factor that in. I mean, there's definitely, as far as interviewing people, and I leave a fair amount of flexibility in my interviewing when I talk to people. I'm always, when people are talking to me, witnesses, I'm always gauging.
Yeah.
Because I've read, I've talked to people so much over the years, heard different accounts, many accounts.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's consistency because, you know, if something that may sound unusual to people not as familiar with the subject, sure. I've probably heard a couple different examples of it. So
right. yeah. Well, you've probably
so for
seen
me, it's consistent.
Yeah, you've probably seen some things at your gifting site, right? Well,
I don't even have a gifting site at Christmas.
Right, right.
So
pretty stacks of marbles. Right?
When I kill a deer, that's
probably
quarter, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's probably all I'm getting. That's probably all I'm getting for Christmas anyway at the house here is marbles.
Right,
so.
Right.
She keeps telling me I've lost my marbles. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. that's good.
Well, fellas, any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
No, just wanting to get out in the field
Jeremiah?
With you boys one of these days.
That's yeah. for sure.
Absolutely. Jeremiah, any thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just you find a piece of evidence, there's more there. You just got to look for it. Say you find a good footprint, well, just because there's not another good one right after it, there could be other evidence linking that footprint. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And sometimes you have to do some definite patterns, search patterns of an area. You know, go the direction it looks like the track came from. You know, go further that way. Be thorough about it. Dustin, any thoughts?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
I was still thinking about what Jeremy was saying. Sorry.
Chance, how about you, buddy?
You know, I would just encourage, you know, everybody to, if you do find, you know, anything as small as a footprint, you know, I would just encourage you to, you know, further investigate, you know, the entire area instead of focusing on just that one spot. So
absolutely. Document.
And I'll tell you something that I would leave everybody a thought with is if you find something you think might be Bigfoot evidence, question
absolutely.
Everything.
Yeah.
Be your own skeptic. Find what you need to find to rule out any doubts in your mind. I know some people jump at something they see and say, absolutely, 100%, that's Bigfoot.
Can't do that.
Well, play devil's advocate.
Yep.
What if it isn't?
Yep. Right.
You know, be certain or as certain as
that's
you can.
Right.
I think I would just want to say that I think people need to realize, you know, it does not matter what you believe. Reality is not based on a belief system. So if these things are out there, you know, frankly, it doesn't matter what you believe. So it's the concrete things that you can bring back. And that's it. That's it.
That's right. You got to be able to
absolutely.
Back it up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree.
Gentlemen, been a pleasure, gentlemen.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming on.
As always.
Everyone be
good seeing you boys again.
Everyone be sure to go.
Dustin, nice.
Be sure to go to the website.
Yep.
WilliamJevning.com. Check out our Facebook page. And we'll be back next week. Thanks, everyone.
All right. See you guys.